about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, you. You beautiful dreamer. You know what you need?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Two years ago, Tanya Bowd's autistic son Tyrone developed an oversized scrotum, which kept on growing. For months, Tanya tried to find out what was wrong. After many misdiagnoses, an MRI scan helped a specialist to work out the problem.
Hunga banga.
Y'all might be thinking right now, I wonder, did he smoke something before he came out here? The answer is yes. I rolled up a little something. I knocked the edge off.
And now.
Hi, guys. I'd like to say hi to everyone in the United States of America right now. Hi, everyone in the United States of America. How are you doing? I'm doing good so far.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, my God. It's raining.
Frankie warned us we had a lot of rain coming today and tomorrow.
Yeah. I think the majority of the rain comes tonight.
Oh.
But it's definitely, it's raining a little.
It is. Yeah.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Flood watch in some areas of Southern California.
Yeah, a bad situation with all the fires. The Thomas Fire, they may need to evacuate because of mudslides and flooding.
That's hell on earth.
Yes.
Can you imagine?
One light after another.
We just got back. What?
Ugh.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, it's not good.
I've got a flood watch at my house right now. You may be hearing some very heavy rain on my roof.
Got it.
Not like that, Allie.
It just, okay. A lot of rain?
Rain? Yeah, tremendous. Tremendous. I've never seen rain... I think the rain here is like the rain in the tropics, where it just is so hard you cannot see 5 feet in front of your face because it's raining so hard.
Good times.
I've never seen anything like it. It's just, it's like six inches an hour, that kind of a thing.
Wow.
When it rains here, oftentimes.
I feel like Bean probably just all excited when it starts raining like that. And he runs out in his front yard and he dances around circles and puts on music and.
I do.
You should see Kevin dancing right now.
I do enjoy thunderstorms.
I was just recreating, you know. Yeah.
Thunderstorms are fun, and I think you may have some thunderstorms tonight as well.
Oh,
really?
That may be part of the mix, which is, I think those are fun.
I do like a little thunder.
Yeah. Not thunderstorms.
No. No need.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 8th of January.
It is. All of that is true. We have a lot of show to get to. I mean, I guess we're all voting for Oprah, for instance. We got to talk about that. I mean, I think that's
a done deal. I don't think we have
deal,
to.
Right?
I think she's president.
She's already in?
Yeah, we woke
oh,
up.
She's already
she is president.
President.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of the impression I got last night is that's happened already. So that's a – when does she take over, by the way?
I think
does
like
she still
a
have
week.
To wait? Or?
Yeah, she has to pack some stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a complete coincidence, but you heard that that tape in the open about the medical story with the scrotum enlarged. Well, listen to this story that I have to open the show with today. This is a British tourist and his wife. His name is David Worsley. He's 59 years old, and he and his wife go on vacation to the Marco Polo Hotel in Tunisia. I don't know anything about Tunisia. Mm-mm. It's in Africa?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. So they're on vacation, and he is feeling poorly. He is sick. He has a fever, and he goes to the doctor there at the hotel. It's a resort, and they say, "Oh, you've just got sunstroke." But he and his wife are very—he is very ill, and he and his wife decide that they're heading back to England. So they head back to England, and he ends up in the hospital, and while he's in the hospital and they're trying to diagnose him, both of his testicles start growing, okay?
Okay.
And that's
one
not
of them,
normal, right?
Not at all,
okay.
No. One of them ends up being the size of a grapefruit.
Oh
my
no.
goodness.
Yes.
They shouldn't be that big.
No. He says it was excruciating pain.
Are you a doctor, Allie?
I am.
Okay. Back to you, Bean.
It was excruciating pain. I could barely move. I was in tears from the agony. After about 10 days, his testicle.
Oh, no.
Nope.
Exploded.
No. No, it didn't.
His testicle exploded.
Balls, yeah. Balls, 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 balls,
Sorry, that was plural. It should have been singular ball.
When it finally exploded, I felt fantastic. It was such a relief. It literally went bang. When a doctor saw it later, she said it was like a volcano exploding, but it was such relief because the pain had been so bad. He says he has suffered psychologically after the ordeal, by the way. It definitely has affected me. Plus, a big part of being a man is gone now. Now, does that mean that his testicle is just is gone?
I mean, I would guess if it exploded.
I mean, if it exploded,
yes.
I guess there's no way to put that back together.
You can't just grab little particles and mush it?
I think not.
I guess not. Now, you may be wondering what happened. He has been finally diagnosed with something called African salmonella. African salmonella, which is new, by the way, a newer type of bacteria. It is not clear where it comes from in the first place. It spreads easily to other people, kids. It's contagious.
Great.
It is more resistant to antibiotics, and it is also more liable to pass from the gut into the bloodstream and cause sepsis. All of this sounds bad to me.
Yeah, I don't want any of it.
So it could be easily deadly, especially to older people. So that's this guy's story.
What happens when a lady gets African salmonella?
That's
what explodes on me?
Ball?
Just one ball? Okay.
Could it be ovaries? I don't know.
Oh, could it be?
But this was...
I ain't using them.
This African salmonella was confined to his testicles, by the way. It did not affect
both?
Any other parts of his body.
So one worse than the other? Or
yes, the one that exploded. The other one did not explode. And I assume at some point it sounds like they got it under control with antibiotics and brought it back down.
You got to baby that one a little bit, right?
Right?
Yeah.
So just to clarify, we're kicking off the week with a guy's exploding ball.
That is correct, yes.
Okay.
Just joking. Happy New Year, everybody.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, hell on earth.
Right? We're going to talk to Barney Smith today. This is the, how old is he? 103? 102?
No, I think he's 90.
He's 113 if he's a dad.
He's 96, 96, if I remember correctly.
He's the guy that paints toilet seat covers and has a museum and is looking to raise some money for a book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Bean stopped and interviewed him.
He sure
did.
We
had him on about 3 months ago because the place was for sale. His museum was for sale. He was looking to unload it. And now I guess he's got a Kickstarter, like you said, for an art book about his work.
He's awesome. That's what I know about him.
Adorable.
Psycho Mike will be here with Psycho Body for those of you that are trying to get in better shape for the new year. He will help you, we think. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network on the show today. Talk a little football. Mm-hmm. We have Matthew Bellany from the Hollywood Reporter to talk Golden Globes on the program today.
I don't know how he comes in bright and early the day after the Golden Globes with all the stuff that he does the night before.
Yeah, and he always looks like he's ready to run a marathon.
Yeah, he showered. He looks nice.
Sort
got a, almost a suit on. Yeah, it's weird.
And we'll take it with Harvey Levin with TMZ like we do on Mondays. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
How about free Coachella tickets on K-Rock all this week, by the way? How about that? No surprise, it's sold out on Friday like it always does, but you can win yours right here on the world-famous K-Rock three times every day at 10, 2, and 6. Right here on the world-famous K-Rock, and another chance to win at K-Rock.com as well. All right, it's Monday morning, 5:55. Allie's here, time to find out what's happening.
Happy Bubble Bath Day, you guys.
Happy
Bubble Bath Day.
Bubble Bath Day.
And to you as well.
Well, thank you, Bean. You know how every day has kind of a national whatever day? Sometimes they double, triple them up throughout the year. Who really cares? A little concerned because Mike Catherwood's coming in later. It's also show and tell at work day.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Concerning. Yeah. National clean off your desk day and National English toffee day. So please celebrate.
Can anyone do that? Because some of these just sound such...
They're so dumb.
Okay.
They're so dumb.
We should come up with one. That's
we
what
should.
I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay.
If anyone can do it, we should do it.
Absolutely. Did you guys watch the Golden Globes last night?
I did. Highlights.
Highlights. Bean, you watch it start to finish?
I think so. I think I saw it all.
I knew you would. What did you think of the host?
I enjoyed his monologue a lot. Mm-hmm. He pulled no punches, and he had some very funny material. Then he vanished after that, and I bet Seth Meyers was
gone.
On the show for less than a minute for the last 2 hours and
is
40
that
minutes
right?
of that show. Yes.
Yeah, because they had to rush through everything because
everything.
Some of the speeches were taking long. It was the most rushed award show I've ever seen. However, the only thing they didn't rush at, walking out to the podium to list the nominations. They walked real slow for that. It was like watching a sloth. It was bizarre. But I did enjoy what he opened with. He opened with, "Good evening, ladies and remaining gentlemen," which was pretty good stuff. But then he, like you said, he pulled no punches with Weinstein, Spacey, some other jokes like that. But he also brought up how he did the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and he thinks his speech is what got Trump into the White House.
Oh.
And Oprah, while I have you, in 2011, I told some jokes about our current president at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, jokes about how he was unqualified to be president, and some have said that night convinced him to run. So if that's true, I just want to say, Oprah, you will never be president. You do not have what it takes. And Hanks, where's Hanks? You will never be vice president. You are too mean and unrelatable. Now we just wait and see.
Very funny. He also brought up a good point. When you see someone's name trending on social media, a man's name trending,
yeah.
You tend to get nervous now. Like either
That's
A,
right.
they sexually abuse someone, or they're dead. Hopefully they're dead.
Right.
And he
That's
brings
case
that
scenario,
up.
They're
yes.
dead.
For the male nominees in the room tonight, this is the first time in 3 months it won't be terrifying to hear your name read out loud. Did you hear about Willem Dafoe? Oh, God, no. He was nominated. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Good, good stuff. Let's go through just a few of the big winners. Best Motion Picture Drama, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Best Motion Picture Musical or Comedy was Lady Bird. I don't know what you thought about some of the TV awards, but you're a big fan of The Handmaid's Tale. You love Elizabeth Moss, correct,
mm-hmm,
Bean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so she won as an actress. The show won as a drama. Best Performance by an Actor in a TV show, Aziz Ansari from Master of None.
Oh.
Interesting. Hmm. Best TV series, musical, or comedy? The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
How about that?
How about that?
I know you were disappointed.
Very much so, because the lead, Rachel Brosnahan,
yeah.
That woman, lovely, she's great in the show. She also won Best Performance by an Actress in a TV series, musical, or comedy, beating out Alison Brie from Glow, Pamela Adlon, Better Things, Issa Rae from Insecure, and Frankie Shaw from Smilf. I just thought,
That's a tough category.
I don't know a lot of people that watch that show, but I guess that doesn't play a part. You don't have to have made the show a hit for them to be the best at
it. I feel like that's a problem sometimes, though, because then you don't really care about watching the Golden Globes if you haven't seen a lot of it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't care about watching.
Yeah.
It was real boring to me. All right. We're going to talk more about those winners, as well as why is Radiohead suing Lana Del Rey? Oh, poor Lana. All of these stars are having a birthday today. Physicist Stephen Hawking, actress Rachel Nichols, singer Jenny Lewis, and actress Gabby Hoffman. And that's what's happening.
We're going to talk with Bat Money Smith from AM 570, your sports station here in town, about the sudden end to the Rams season on Saturday. That's coming up in minutes. First, though, let's say hi to Harvey Levin. First time for the new year. Happy New Year, Harvey. How are you, sir?
Hey, same to you guys. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
How do you feel about living under President Oprah Winfrey? You excited? You looking forward to it?
Hey, guys, I got to tell you something. I just saw this. We got a bunch of people out, and I don't think this is just like fun and games talking about this. My feeling when I watched her was, you know, because, look, she was incredible. And when I watched her, I thought, wow, that is really stirring. But she has always said, I have absolutely no interest in running for office.
Right.
So then we get like a bunch of celebrities out, including Gayle King, who's her best longtime friend, who said, she should absolutely run. Just people need to convince her to do it. And I thought, that's an odd statement to make. And then we got a bunch of other people, Lawrence Fishburne and others, saying, absolutely, we want her. And then I'm looking, and Stedman told the LA Times, and this is a quote, and I had never seen this before, I just saw this, it's up to the people, she would absolutely do it.
What?
Oh, Stedman.
I know. I mean, that's a big deal. And again, the Times is quoting him. Mm-hmm. I don't know where or when he said this, but assuming he said it, that's unbelievable.
I always look at somebody like Oprah, who's put in a lifetime of work and has all the money in the world. And I always think, why would she want to do that?
Yeah.
I think she would want to do it because she sincerely wants to help people. I don't think she certainly doesn't need to be more famous or richer. She just wants to help people.
Can she give everybody a new car?
There's a different way of looking at it. And the way I see it is that when Barack Obama was president, she didn't feel the need to do anything like that. And she felt she could be more influential outside politics, which is probably true. But now I think she... You know, I think that the mindset is different. So it's not so much, yeah, everything's going fine, I don't want to do it. She may feel like, I want to rescue this.
So it did sound like it was just a bunch of joking last night and saying, hey, 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 wouldn't that be funny? She'd be great. But you're saying there's a lot more to it.
Gayle King, when I heard Gayle say this, because Oprah has always said, I have no interest.
Right.
So when I saw Gayle, it really piqued my curiosity. And then when I saw this thing from Stedman,
I mean,
when he says she would absolutely do it, it sounds like this was the beginning of a campaign.
That speech certainly sounded like a kickoff speech, didn't it? I mean, it was a magnificent speech.
Yeah.
It really was.
Harvey, good luck debating her.
You are politically savvy, Harvey. Any reason to suspect she couldn't win?
I got to tell you, I think Oprah wins. If Oprah ran, you know, you never know what happens during a campaign and the twists and turns. I don't think there's anybody in this country who is generally liked more, and you know, who could be in that position. And I think people, even if they don't necessarily like her specific views on things, they like the fact that she's inspirational. And I think that candidates who are inspirational, when you look historically, like you look at John Kennedy and the way he ran his campaign,
sure.
that when it becomes inspirational, it trumps specific issues.
So basically, and if she runs, we're all assuming that she'll win.
I think she could. I mean, honestly,
I think so too.
I've thought that for a long time.
And I'd also like to say, by the way, that she is so famous and so loved for so long that for most people, she transcends being black and being female. I do. I know there are some people.
And by most people.
Most people.
Most right-thinking people.
No. Except, you know what? I agree and disagree. I think that people who are not black, people who are not women, still really admire her, but I think she has special meaning for people who are black and women. I think there's special meaning there, but I also think that people who aren't part of that, those groups, still really admire her. I mean, she's got more going for her. And you know, you've got to remember, too, money, because it costs a lot of money to run.
Sure.
She can raise the money.
Yeah.
Yep, you're absolutely right. And when we were watching, I know this wasn't what we were planning on spending all this time talking about, but
interesting, though.
It is.
When we were watching the video piece that they put together for the Cecil B. DeMille Award last night on the Golden Globes,
it felt like that the video they show at the Democratic Convention before the candidate comes out.
And that was going to be my point, is in addition to the impact she has made through television and movies, you got a glimpse into all those other things she's doing, like the school in Africa. Africa for the girls and all those other things. I mean, she has really been doing a lot of good work that hasn't gotten as much attention until last night, I thought.
I mean, people knew about a lot of that stuff, but I think when you kind of see it all presented in one package, it's a pretty impressive resume.
It is. Yes, Harvey, go ahead.
I'm just thinking that so much of being president has to do with being inspirational when you think about it.
Because, I agree.
You know, when you think about what presidents, what you remember in inaugural speeches, you remember speeches to the nation, you remember in press conferences, and those are all things that she could probably do better than anybody else.
I think people underestimate charisma, and she has it.
Oh,
yeah, true. Yeah.
That's what you remember.
This is a big deal.
I feel like
her friends who are aligned with her are suddenly saying this stuff.
Hey, Harvey, it didn't say when Stedman said that or where?
Well, I'm looking. You know, I literally 2 minutes before you went on, it was in the LA Times this morning, and it says it didn't take long for social media and celebs in particular to rally. So it's clearly the way this is written, it's after the speech.
Wow.
Last night.
Wow.
Stedman.
Thumbs up.
Bringing
love it.
The heat.
He's either in trouble this morning.
Right.
And will no longer be there, or he's going to be your campaign manager.
No, it's amazing.
There's some great stuff from the Golden Globes last night on TMZ.com. I urge our listeners
to check
it out. By the
way, we got to say it. Liv Schreiber, we found out he got his luggage back.
Hilarious, that picture you posted, by the way. So funny. People should check it out.
You know, he made a big deal. He shamed Delta on the red carpet on NBC, and it worked.
Have you guys ever lost a luggage from an airline?
Yes.
I have too. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You don't get it back.
I got mine back, I think, like 3 weeks later.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
oh,
shocking.
I never did.
Yeah.
Okay.
TMZ airs on Fox Channel 11 throughout the day. TMZ Live at 4 p.m. Same channel 11. TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, the TMZ Tour is always available, and it's a lot of fun at TMZ.com. Harvey, we love you, man. Welcome back. Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Beer Bug here at the beginning of the Atlanta Falcons versus the Los Angeles Rams wild card Saturday playoff game. Before the game starts, I hope it's a good one.
All right, so okay.
What happened to Muggs?
Muggs was there, and at the pregame, he was smashed.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do some serious tailgating, Muggs?
Oh, we went 0 to 60 in 3 seconds.
Well, did you have a good time at the game?
I had a good time at the game. Not the outcome Rams fans would have wanted, but...
Yeah, first half you enjoyed.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about it with our friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petros Money Radio Show, AM 570 LA Sports. Matt, what's going on?
What's happening, Bean? Hey, Kevin. Hey, Alan. How's everybody?
Good. Hey, Matt.
What up,
Happy
buddy?
New Year.
Happy
I know you're the voice of the Chargers, but I'm sure with your team out, you were rooting hard for the Rams on Saturday. What went wrong?
That was the worst poll that they could have had, the Falcons, you know, the team that represented the NFC in the Super Bowl last year. So you've got a team, you know, in the Rams that has pretty much zero playoff experience. I mean, their left tackle, Andrew Whitworth, had played in a couple playoff games, had never won one. When I was asking around, I'm like, hey, who's going to kind of help these guys understand it's a little bit different in the playoffs? And they're like, oh, Wade Phillips. You mean the 70-year-old guy who tucks his polo into his track pants? That's the guy? So, you know, it wasn't a great matchup because the playoffs are different. Things, you know, a game can get on top of you in a hurry. And I think, you know, just all around, from Sean McVay, a 31-year-old head coach, to a second-year quarterback, it was just a lot to ask for them to try to knock off the defending NFC champs.
Yeah. I know it's too
spit it out.
It's too soon. Right? It's too soon for Rams fans to realize this, but they got a great group of guys who are coming back next year. I mean, this Rams team isn't going anywhere.
I think there's two ways to look at it. One, and I think this is kind of what the Chargers' lament is, you know, that they needed some help to get in. You know, they won their game. They destroyed the Raiders. They needed the Jags to beat the Titans, and the Bastards couldn't do that, so they didn't get in.
Right.
I think their lament was that, man, this is a wide-open year. You know, you can see, even though their record suggests it's not, there are cracks in the Patriots. You know, the Steelers are dealing with a lot of injuries. And then on the NFC side, I mean, you've got a team that just snuck in week 17 in the Falcons, who are expected to beat the number one seed, Eagles, this week. So, you know, you kind of have this wide open, and it's normally not like that. There's usually a pretty heavy separation between one or two teams in each conference and everybody else, and it'd be a big surprise if any of those teams got in. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that sucks for the Rams is you could really make a compelling case with as good as that offense, but then all year, hey, why not them, man? That they're just as good offensively as any team. They very well could find themselves in Minnesota. So that it ended with a loss at home, I think, has got to be disappointing, even though they flipped their season from 4-12 to 12-4.
Right. I wanted to ask you about a couple of things that I thought about during the game. One was, I didn't understand, Matt, all the controversy about that intentional grounding call on Cam Newton. What was that about?
Oh, in the game yesterday, so...
Oh, I'm sorry. I got my games confused, but sorry. Right.
So yesterday, when the Panthers were driving to win the game against the Saints, the big play was Cam Newton throws a pass. He's under pressure, right? He gets sacked. He lets go of the ball before he gets tackled. That's, you know, fine. It would be an incomplete pass unless you are, and this is going to get pretty technical, inside the tackle box. What that means is the space between the right tackle and the left tackle, the two offensive linemen, when they hike the ball. Now, what Carolina's arguing is, look at the replay. He clearly isn't in the tackle box. And B, that because he threw the ball so far down the sideline, it's not like he just threw it straight into the dirt right in front of him. how can you say that there wasn't supposed to be a receiver there if maybe the receiver ran the wrong route? And that really was the decisive play of that game. And it just sucks because, you know, with all of the crap that, that football fans are dealing with replays and overturn calls and calls taking 10 minutes to make and screwing with the flow of the game, I think it was just another thing piling on what was a pretty bad weekend for the officials.
And you thought that was the wrong call also?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you look at it, it looks like he was outside the tackle box. I mean, whatever.
Okay.
You know, hey, make a field goal, Graham Gano. You're from 25 yards out.
Right? Yeah. Well, I apologize that I got my games. I watched them all this weekend, so they just all blurred together in my head. I apologize for asking that.
What about
not
when
about
that
the Rams
guy on the Rams caught his own touchdown? What about that?
See what you did there, Alan.
I see what I did there.
All right. I do have one more Rams question, and that is, bring me the story of Sam Ficken, because I love this.
You know what? So this is, it's a great story, and it's, hey, here's a guy, basically the Kurt Warner stocking grocery shelves kind of thing, right? And that's the story of all kickers, to be honest with you. The Chargers went through five this year. It is why they did not make the postseason. They had a camp battle between two guys. One guy stayed, Young Wei Koo. He gets booted in week two. In comes Nick Novak, who was doing what? Just hanging out down in San Diego, helping his dad out at his place of work, kicking balls at a high school, right? So he comes in, he gets hurt. Then Travis Coons, who's a local guy from Alta Loma High School, out in Rancho Cook, what was he doing? He was working construction. Now he's kicking for the Chargers. Then he gets booted. And then
man.
So that's just, you know, the Ficken story really is the story of kickers. When it happens to a position player, that's when it gets crazy. When it's the Kurt Warner, he was, you know, bagging groceries, or the Vince Papale, and, you know, with the Eagles, who was working construction, you know, and made the run in the open trial with Dick Vermeil. But yeah, I mean, look, I'm not trying to diminish the Ficken story, but that's pretty much what kickers do. They sit around and they wait and they hope that, you know, guys either lose their minds or get hurt and they get a call.
He was working at a brokerage firm 3 weeks ago, and now he's in playoff football on national TV.
Guess what? He's working at a brokerage firm today.
All right, before we let Matt go, so how did it go for Muggs at the end of the night, Kevin?
Oh, well, Muggs at the end of the night, is about 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And
3 a.m.?
Yes, after the game, he was processing it all.
It was a 5 o'clock game.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord.
So this is 3 a.m. And remember, he was drunk before the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So before the 5 o'clock. So at 3 a.m., he's sitting on his couch, I assume in his underwear. And he's just thinking over his life. He's thinking over the sporting events that he's seen, and he's just not sure how to process the information.
Hey, what's up? It's Bear Mug.
Oh, my God.
3 in the morning.
First of all, can you believe that? How high were you? Be honest.
I was all of everything.
Okay.
Sunday. First, how's that game 7?
Seven.
The Dodgers losing the World Series.
You slowed this down, right?
Nope.
Going back to there. Nope.
This is normal speed.
Yes. And he's going back to now great games that it was at that they lost.
Okay.
And now, yesterday, I was at the Rams playoff game.
Doesn't it sound like he's been beaten up? Like his face is all swollen and he can't talk?
Yeah.
What the hell's going on with Muggs?
And the common denominator.
Don't do that to yourself.
In both of those games.
Right. Don't do that to yourself, Muggs.
Is
right.
That they both lost.
Yeah. That's an astute observation.
And I was at the games.
There it is.
I'm never going to any of my sports teams' playoffs or championships again.
Okay.
Wow.
I think we need to archive that.
And then a gunshot rang out.
My goodness.
Right? Have you ever heard anyone like that?
What made you decide to tape yourself at 3 a.m. at home, Muggs?
I don't even know how I managed to even get my phone and record that.
Do you remember recording it?
Well, until when I heard it this morning,
yeah. Yeah, sure, yeah. That's awesome. That's Muggs at his finest right there.
I like it.
That's the kind of sports reporting we do on this program.
Matt, why don't you take him off her hands and put him on the Petros and Money Show?
Yeah, I like that Muggs is like the brilliant writer, you know, who has a bolt of lightning, an idea come to him in the middle of the night, wakes up and begins to write it down. It's like, hey, Mark Twain, when did you come up with Owen? In the middle of the night. The idea hit me. That's Muggs. In the middle of the night, this idea struck me, and I had to immediately begin recording my voice.
Thank you so much for jumping on, Matt. Yeah. Happy New Year. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
LA knows his alternative rock. It's the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
The feel-good feature of the week, Kevin and Bean's great new... Kevin and Bean's great new... It's still not working. Coming up right after the top of the hour. First,
Don't need it now.
Don't need it now. Just need it for the great news part. Mm. First, Ali is here on a Monday. Turn it off.
Yeah.
Turn it off. Okay. Here's Ali with what's happening.
You guys know about Paley Fest, right?
Yes.
It's essentially, for people that like television, it is Mecca. It's your favorite shows. It's the stars of the shows, directors, writers, everything up on a panel sharing a little insider scoop, all of that about what goes on with the process of it. People can ask questions. It is an absolute blast. Well, it is returning to the Dolby Theater March 16th to the 25th. The full lineup's going to be announced tomorrow at noon, but already announced, Will and Grace. And The Good Doctor. General public on sale is Friday at 9 a.m. For more details, go to paleyfest.org. But this right here might be the big ticket. Stranger Things.
Oh,
the cast and creators of Stranger Things up there. You're finding out all sorts of insider scoop.
I've got two of these, and it is crazy that they get everyone up there.
Oh, it is
phenomenal.
It's not
just a couple of representatives or an actor. It's the whole group.
No, this one I think is going to be the one that people are clamoring for. Well, you don't have to wait until that public on sale Friday at 9 a.m. If you are caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067, you are going to get a pair of tickets to Netflix's Stranger Things Paley Fest panel at the Dolby Theater. Let's give it to caller 20 right now, 1-800-520-1067.
Allie McKay?
Yeah.
Since you brought up Stranger Things,
mm-hmm.
I need your reaction on the controversial Winona Ryder hair commercial last night during the Golden Globes.
I would have to see it to give you an opinion.
Oh, you missed that one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What was
it? A controversial hair commercial?
Yes, it was a L'Oreal commercial. Okay.
Where maybe you should look at it and then we can discuss it next hour. But a lot of people thought that they were the slug line is everyone deserves a comeback, and it's talking about how to repair your damaged hair. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people thought that was a little bit offensive to compare that to Winona Ryder was the star of the thing to compare that to her and her career. They thought it was derogatory toward her.
Did she star in the commercial?
She starred in the commercial.
Yeah. Shut up, people.
So clearly it was okay with
her. It was okay with her. Let's calm down. Are you kidding me?
It's a stunning ad, though.
And
everyone
deserves a comeback.
This just in.
It was a comeback. She was gone.
Yeah.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, people don't have anything to do with their time. I feel like those are the people that you hear from over something like this.
That's really interesting. I missed that whole thing. Where is the outrage?
Right.
Well, I think we know where the outrage is. Did you see any movies this weekend, Kevin?
I did. I saw Molly's Game.
You did?
I did.
Well, then you helped to get to number 7.
You were very shocked by that, weren't you?
I actually am. I thought for sure you'd see Insidious.
I was dying to, but then I've been waiting for this movie, Molly's Game, because it's Jessica Chastain.
Sure.
It's Idris Elba.
Right.
And it's about high-stakes poker games. It had everything, written by Aaron Sorkin.
Okay.
It was great.
All right.
Only number 7.
Only number 7, because Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, pulled ahead. They took the top spot at the movies this weekend with $36 million, followed by Insidious's debut, Insidious The Last Key. They made a little over $29 million, followed by Star Wars The Last Jedi, The Great Showman, Pitch Perfect rounding up the top 5, followed by Ferdinand, Molly's Game, like I said, came in at number 7, The Darkest Hour, Coco, and All the Money in the World coming in at number 10. But it was great, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was really good.
I feel like you can't go wrong with that cast and Sorkin.
Agreed.
Even poker, which I don't get.
Well, here's the thing about it. It's really about the woman's story. It's not really about poker. If you don't know anything about poker, you're fine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Speaking of odds and whatnot, one winning ticket sold for Saturday night's $570 million Powerball lottery drawing sold in New Hampshire. Any of us in New Hampshire?
How many did you buy, Bean?
I bought $10 Mega Millions, $10 Powerball.
And the Mega Millions. Just one winner for that as well. In Florida.
Oh, come on. Stupid 7-Eleven in Port Richey.
So one person has $570 million now from Powerball, and one person has $450 million from Mega Millions.
Wow.
I felt good about it, too. I really did.
You
I
did.
Thought I was going to win.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I understand.
I mean, very you really should be confident if you're spending 10 bucks.
Yeah. Because that ups your chances
by five times. Yeah.
By the way, we don't know how many tickets the winners bought, but look, mm-hmm. somebody wins.
Right? It is true, Bean. You are correct.
I'm just mocking the fact that you were hoping and sort of expecting to win.
I really felt good about it when I walked out of the Bromart. I really did. I thought, well, that's it. I just won a billion. I thought I was going to win both. I said, I just won $1 billion.
Well, that's a realistic expectation.
Yeah.
I think.
I thought so.
Yeah. Absolutely. How much would you guys pay to watch your favorite television show with one of its actors?
Depends on the show. Depends on the actor.
Well, what's your favorite show?
Oh, I don't know.
Favorite show?
That's tough.
Right?
Veep with Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
There you go. That's a great example.
Oh, that's a great example. How much would you pay, Kevin?
I don't know.
Big money?
Sure.
All right. Well, if you're Brad Pitt and you are at a big Hollywood event, it's for Sean Penn's annual relief event in Hollywood, he decided to give some big money away, or so he thought, to watch Game of Thrones with Emilia Clarke.
All right.
The bidding started at a modest $20,000, but quickly...
I'm sorry, it started at $20,000?
Oh, yeah. But quickly soared at the hands of Brad to $80,000. And then Kit Harington walked back from the bathroom and he's like, I'll throw myself in. I'll watch it with you guys. So the bidding got up to $120,000 by Brad. Ooh. Brad's like, I'm getting this. I'm watching it with you two.
Wow.
But not a happy ending for Brad. He lost out to someone a little less famous that snagged the prize for $160,000. $1,000. You guys, someone has $160,000. Obviously, it's going to a great charity, but
right.
My God.
That's crazy.
That's not so many.
Why
right?
doesn't he go at 165? What is he, cheap?
I know.
Right?
God, what's going on?
Come on now.
He must not like Game of Thrones, right?
Loser.
It's a charity.
All right. I teased it last hour, but we are going to get to it next hour, I swear. Why? Is Radiohead suing Lana Del Rey? And why did Boy George just pop up in the middle of it? We are going to find out in the next What's Happening. But here's some birthdays for you. Stephen Hawking, Rachel Nichols, Jenny Lewis, and Gabby Hoffman. That's what's happening.
This is a big hour. If you are one of the millions of Americans who made a New Year's resolution to get more fit, to eat better, and maybe even to work out a little bit. Maybe this is the year.
Stop it, Muggs.
Muggs tries to eat healthy.
Yeah, sure.
Our friend Mike Catherwood is coming in with the Psycho Body in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, it's time for some... You ready? No. Wait for the pause, and then I'll say great news, then you bring up the echo. First, it's time for some great news... There's no... Where? Why?
You're the worst, Kevin.
Hit it, Steve.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! I'm going to start with my great news.
Oh, that worked. Okay.
It works perfectly. I know a lot of people are not necessarily sports fans.
Mm-hmm.
People who are sports fans may have heard about this, but people who aren't probably didn't. The Buffalo Bills made the playoffs this year for the first time since 1999. They were pretty much out of it, unless the Cincinnati Bengals beat the Ravens in the last week of the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the end of the game, and Cincinnati's behind by 3, and it's fourth down, so this is literally the final play of the game. And the quarterback, Andy Dalton, for the Bengals, throws a touchdown on that play and eliminates the Ravens, and the Bills make it into the playoffs.
Fourth down. Dalton steps up. Dalton throws. It's complete. Caught by Boyd. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown.
Shocked everybody. Nobody expected that.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills went crazy, and their fans. I don't know if you're familiar with the Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
But that's a group of people that is known basically for tailgating
mm-hmm.
and for setting themselves on fire
sure.
and jumping through tables. I mean, their tailgate is serious.
They're nuts.
Because they live in Buffalo.
And their team had not been in the playoffs for 17 years.
Right. So with that pass, Andy Dalton from another team gets the Bills into the playoffs.
Yeah, hero.
The Bills Mafia sort of goes into action, and they raised money for Andy Dalton's charity. So he has a charitable foundation for sick kids in Cincinnati. And the Bills fans raised money for the Cincinnati quarterback for his charitable foundation.
As a thank you.
Yes.
Wow.
And he, Dalton announced on Friday his foundation had received. Now, how much? $40,000 $60,000
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah.
$315,000 since Sunday.
Wow.
So a sports fan base raised $315,000 for an opposing quarterback's charity.
That's impressive.
That is
that's
really
a wonderful
cool.
story.
Yeah.
And that's my great news.
I love it. Do you want me to go, Bean?
Sure.
All right. There's this thing happening with different middle schools, but this one has to do with the school in Dallas. It's called Breakfast with Dads. It's where boys can spend the morning with adults, ask them, you know, kind of what's ever on their mind, some mentors, that type of thing, over some muffins, OJ.
Sure.
And about 100...
OJ's there?
No, no, he is not there. He is not mentoring children yet. About 150 kids signed up, all requesting a mentor. For many of them, their dads couldn't be there, and a lot of them had no dad or no father figure in their life. So
muffins.
Muffins were there as well.
That's not the key part of
not
this, though.
Not the key takeaway.
Let's not focus on that.
But the event organizers were really nervous that there weren't going to be enough mentors for these young men at the school. These are 11 to 13-year-old little boys. So they put a blast out on Facebook. Listen, we need people. We get that it's right before Christmas. We understand it's bright and early in the morning. But if you know any men that can come out and do this, it would be wonderful. Well, the site crashed. There were so many people willing to participate that morning, December morning, just before Christmas, they needed 50 to 100 men. 600 men showed up.
Wow, did they get in a big fight?
They did not. No, these are men of all ages, all backgrounds. They answered the call. Everything from members of the military that wanted to talk to the kids about what they do in the military, to men bringing ties so they could teach the little boys how to tie a tie if they had a job interview coming up.
Did you say 600?
600
wow.
men showed up. That is so beautiful. And just
that's a lot of dudes who didn't have jobs to go to.
Again,
I don't think that's the point.
No, a lot of these men did have jobs, and that's why they wanted to go to mentor these kids.
And OJ was one of them, or he
OJ
wasn't?
OJ was not. They just ate muffins.
Story. I'm the juice.
OJ.
Whatever that is. Right? Let's try to be a good guy.
Try to be a good guy.
That's my great news.
That's your what?
Great news.
How come it works for her?
Weird.
And finally, you guys know that I am a sucker for animal stories. There's nothing that makes me happier than seeing people being kind to animals. And this is a wonderful story out of Alpine, Wyoming, a few days ago. Temperatures were right around freezing when a whole herd of elk fell through a soft spot in the ice and were in the freezing water and could not get out. Listen to this. Here's a guy named Dusty Jones telling the news. I was heading into Jackson to go to work, and I noticed a couple of cars pulled over. I looked to the left, and I saw a couple of guys beating on the ice with a herd of elk right there in front of them. Jones ran down to the ice and called a friend to bring him a chainsaw. There were about a dozen elk in the frigid water, which Jones says measured 8 to 10 feet deep. People started suddenly appearing out of everywhere. Before you knew it, there were 30 to 40 people there. We began cutting a little path toward the shore so the animals could walk out of there. Some were so cold they could barely move. That's when we just started grabbing the elk and pulling them out.
That does not seem possible.
Elk are not tiny animals.
Yeah, they're huge animals, right. But I guess in that situation, the elks would normally be afraid of people, but they realized, hey, I'm drowning here, so I'll take whatever help I can get. Good Samaritans with crowbars, ice augers, chainsaws, toe straps, ropes, and other equipment showed up to work to free the animal. Someone had a backhoe. We were able to put two calves into the bucket and transport them out as well. They were worried that the ice might collapse. It was around 4 inches thick, but none of the people on the ice fell through. It was just the spot where the elk fell through where the ice was thinner than it normally is. So one by one, each of the 13 elk was pulled to safety, No elk died. It was such a great thing.
Wow.
The Forest Service credits community members for helping with the situation, said if nobody had stopped, no question, several of the animals would have likely died. So,
So elk burgers all around?
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the takeaway.
No?
But that is this week's great news. Our friend Matthew Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter joins us in studio next hour on The Kevin and Bean Show, breaking down the Golden Globe telecast last night and the parties afterward. Also, we'll talk football with Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. First, though, Happy New Year, Mike Catherwood, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, yeah. Pow.
Michael, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Did you just say pow?
Pow.
Okay, all right.
Mike, I feel like it's been a long time since we have welcomed you in January for the Psycho Body. Did we miss it last year?
I don't know.
And the 3 years before?
it seems like it's been a while.
It's really tough to remember what I did yesterday.
Sure.
And I mean that. Yes. So I don't know what happened in January of 2017.
Tell us why you're qualified to give advice.
I'm very buff. And I'm...
I was looking for maybe some experience...
I've sent a lot of people to the hospital.
Training
them. Yeah.
So you know what not to do.
Yeah. I have 0 degrees in anything.
Okay, good.
And I'm not in any way even competent in the sciences.
But you have studied health a lot.
But I really do.
You really know what you're talking about.
I am uber geeky about it and even the more kind of advanced stuff about it. Dr. Drew is, I will admit, impressed with my level of understanding of certain metabolic functions.
If you can answer this objectively,
yeah.
Who is more buff, you or Dr. Drew?
Well, honestly, purely objectively, it depends on what your definition of buff is. If just overall size, Dr. Drew's a much bigger, much more muscular guy than I am. But if you're going to talk like body composition, I think I got him there, like as far as the whole makeup. The whole schmageggy.
Okay.
So if you have questions about makeup or schmageggy, call now.
He's a good fella.
Well, here's why we wanted to have Mike in, because as I mentioned a few minutes ago, it's year after year, it's the most common New Year's resolution is this is the year I'm going to get in shape.
Sure.
I'm either going to start working out or I'm going to start eating better or whatever. And most people last about 2 days into the new year before they just throw it out the window. And you watch commercials right now and it's all for Weight Watchers and the Zone and things like that.
Don't they say gyms in January, the memberships just go through the roof.
Oh, yeah.
And then no one shows up.
It's like a 500% increase.
Right.
Yeah. Mike, you probably notice it's more packed than ever in the gym. Until when? When do most people give up and it goes back to just the regular people you saw all of last year?
I'm going to say spring, middle of March.
Oh, that far?
People
hanging that
much?
That.
I honestly think people are much more committed to fitness now because it just seems more available because of the internet. But I also think that the internet has created the worst environment ever because people are saturated with advice that's utterly meaningless. Mm-hmm. It just makes no sense. Or they search out advice that's far too advanced for them, thinking that, they're going to shortcut their way to it. So it's like, let me watch this guy, squatting 700 pounds because, that's how I'm going to get in shape to go to work as a secretary. So it's tough. But I do think more people are prone to actually going to the gym, but committing a whole year.
How much of diet is it?
It's more than anything.
Right.
Honestly, if you were on a desert island and you had no ability to exercise, it would be way more important that you were getting a better diet than if you were on a desert island somehow where there was only Pop-Tarts and a gym.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I want to go to that island.
Yeah.
Where's Pop-Tart Island?
Nutrition and what you put in your body for longevity, for the way you look, it's just – exponentially more important than training.
How much?
So why are you here?
How much time and effort do you put into diet? Because it strikes me as a lot.
More than probably I should. I mean that seriously. Like I do think that there's times when I should take the quality of life as opposed to like being 20 minutes late somewhere because I'm weighing my food.
All right, let me ask Allie and Bean, have you guys ever weighed your food?
Absolutely.
No. You have?
I have Never. A food okay. scale because I'm trying to get back to my pre-baby weight.
Yeah.
And I weigh my food because I
you
have to have...
You mean the weight before you were born? Or
from when I was born until now, yeah. But yeah, I weigh my food.
You do?
You have to weigh the container first because that comes up on the scale. It's a whole thing that
comes
through.
More than
it.
The reductionist stuff that a lot of people go to, meaning I'm going to cut out carbs. I'm going to cut out fat. I'm going to cut... having an idea of portion size and how much volume of food you put in your body is really, really important. And people, everyone, we're all guilty of it, grossly underestimate how much they're eating.
When you start weighing it and seeing what is an ounce, you're like, wait, well, that won't fill me up. Oh, God.
That's all. A tablespoon of peanut butter is way less than what everyone on earth would think it is when I say, just go grab yourself a tablespoon and eat that. You would get 3.5.
I'd come in with something the size of a snowball.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that. I only had one glass of wine, but it was the size of, like, you know, Conan's chalice.
Good reference.
That's a good reference.
Hey, listen, Mike, we're going to take
some, sure.
We're going to take some calls at 1-800-520-1067. What are the parameters of the questions you're ready to field this morning?
Diet, health, nutrition, all
of the above,
and all the cilia and flagella that fly off of that, you know, nucleus.
I don't know
there.
What that means, but it sounds gross. let me ask you one more question before the break, and that is, when you are watching your calories and you are eating less because you're trying to be good and you get really, really hungry, how long do a certain number of days in do you not start to feel that hungry? Does your body adjust and now you don't need as much food to feel full?
That's something to always remember, is that the human body is amazingly adaptive. I mean, amazingly. And so when you say, oh, well, I'm going to go vegan, I'm going to go gluten-free, it's really amazing how quickly your body will adapt to that.
And be fine with it.
Exactly. And so when it comes to reducing calories, very quickly your body will adapt to that too. I mean, it has these instinctive, you know, processes that deal with any type of stimulus, and even if it's being hypocaloric. So hunger will go away, but also the reduction you're going to need to keep losing weight is going to have to increase too. You know, so it's a.
I think of dieting and always starving as the same thing.
Well, yeah, you don't want to always be starving, but at the same time, take into consideration there is going to be a level of discomfort. People hate to embrace the idea that I'm going to have to not eat stuff I really want to. I'm going to have to eat a lot less of the stuff that I do want to eat. That's not comfortable. It's not nice.
It's not fun.
Just kind of sucks. And just go into that knowing that, and it makes it a little easier.
All right. Mike Catherwood is here. He's ready to help you. 1-800-520-1067. Diet, health, nutrition, workout. If you've got questions, we've got answers. Give us a call. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Taking your questions on health and fitness and nutrition, our very handsome friend Mike Catherwood is here. It's time for The Psycho Body.
Don't just get fit, get psycho. Don't just get strong, get psycho. Don't just get big, get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
1-800-520-1067. Let me start with one text, by the way. This is from the 323. Coconut oil pills, trend or very helpful in losing body fat, Michael?
It's healthy fat. I mean, I don't go get healthy coconut oil pills. Waste your money on that. Go buy a jar of organic coconut butter or coconut oil and cook with it, and maybe put some in a smoothie. But you don't need to go buy pills. That'll probably be way more money than it's worth.
Let's take Adam Laguna Niguel to get us started. He's on line 4, up first on the Psycho Body with Mike.
Hey, Adam.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Morning. What's your question?
I have a question about sugar for Mike.
Yes.
So I know that seems like pretty much everything has sugar in it, whether it's, you know, a bowl of ice cream or a bowl of snack food.
Everything good has sugar in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to be on a weight loss plan, something Kevin was just making fun of.
So don't eat anything that you're aforementioned.
I wasn't making fun of you, Adam. Okay, ask your question. What about sugar?
I want to know what is to be totally avoided and what is safe.
All things that are highly processed are to be totally avoided. That means any kind of like bread product, you know, pasta, crackers, donuts, any type of like really highly processed sugar source or starch, stay away from it. And when you get your sugar, make sure you get it from sources that have like natural fiber in them as well and aren't going to make your blood sugar go out of control. Things like berries. An apple. Those are good choices. Even when you're looking at fruits, look at fruits that are much, much lower on the glycemic load, like the aforementioned ones, because they're not going to make your body go out of control. Like even a banana will. I know it's natural, it's healthy, but you don't want to put a – it's still sugar. And people have this crazy idea that if it's natural, it's somehow way better. But not always, you know. So just, you know, get things that aren't going to make your blood sugar go out of control.
And I disagree, Adam, completely.
Adam, good luck to you. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Mike in Irvine, line 7, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, so my gym life consists of about like 45 minutes a day at my work gym. Mm-hmm. So I was curious if it's better to do like a full body lifting weights or just concentrate like on a couple muscle groups per day.
You know, full body's a great choice. You know, if you do full body workouts, you know, 2 or 3 days a week, that's as good. That's even great for like elite athletes. It'll only, you know, a very, very fringe amount of people, like professional bodybuilders, fitness models, need to focus in on a lot of hypertrophy. On like you like small little muscles. If trust me, like a good full body weightlifting workout, even twice or three times a week.
I was going to ask how many times a week is
2 to 3 times a week is perfectly good for almost all everybody listening.
Only has 45 minutes, should he be doing cardio then as well?
Well, it's like Bruce Lee always said, it's about balance. You don't try to get in 2 to 3 days a week of doing some cardiovascular training and 2 to 3 days a week of some weight training, and you're golden, man.
There you go. All right, thank you for the call.
But he died, man. Should we be listening to Bruce Lee?
Right? Yeah, that's what you think.
Let's go to Scott in West Covina. Hi, Scott.
I hear he drums for Motley Crue.
Good morning, guys. The question to Mike is, I'm always on the run, and I never have the chance to really go to the gym, but I do want to eat healthier.
Yeah.
What do you recommend for me to pick up on the go, like granola bars, shakes? Or what's the deal?
It does seem like on the run is the it's so hard to
and
eat well.
The convenience of junk food is really the biggest problem for most of us because we all work too much, and that sucks. But I don't recommend that because it tends to kind of make you even more hungry and crave things that you don't like. Apples, almonds, in small portions, and hard-boiled eggs. These are all great things that are not, you know, from a store.
But how can you do that man-made on the run?
Well, it does take a little bit of planning. You know, if you're on the run, you take with you, put it in your car, put in, some bottled water, an apple, a bag of nuts, and 3 hard-boiled eggs. You're good till you get home.
Peanut butter sandwiches, is that cool?
Peanut butter, Ezekiel bread. I recommend that if you're going to do that.
Ezekiel bread? Yeah. What's that?
It's that's by this guy named Ezekiel. Yeah, it's a brand. It's just, the grains that make the bread are all sprouted, and it's much more appropriate for the human metabolism.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate the call, sir. Hey, during NFL games this weekend, Mike, I saw a bunch of commercials for that Bowflex where they claim you can get a full workout in 14 minutes. Is that possible?
Probably not. I mean, if it seems too good to be true, it's nowhere more than the old adage of if it seems too good to be true, it probably is. Is it more appropriate than in the world of health and fitness?
Mm-hmm.
If it seems like you're not going to have to put in a little struggle and discipline and self-control, then something's up.
That sucks. All right, let's go to David in Rancho Santa Margarita. Hi.
Yeah, hi. My question is all about organic foods. I just feel that, the foods today are just so overprocessed that they're really hard to digest, and I just find that organic foods just seem a little bit cleaner.
Okay.
And I was wondering, it just seems like organic just seems to be all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And what can organic food be trusted? And is there any certain types of organic foods that we should be looking for?
Yeah. Well, with vegetables and fruits, there's like the dirty dozen or the dirty 15 or something. You'll be able to Google it and find it easily. But there are a very select group of fruits and vegetables that you definitely want to go organic, because something to do with the way that they raise them, it's actually really bad for you, blah, blah, blah. But all things considered, if you have disposable income and you really don't give an F about how much you're spending at Whole Foods, buy all the organic food you want, everything organic. If it's between, I can afford to have some lean sirloin and broccoli if it's conventional, or I have to get the organic and I can't afford it, always just don't go organic. It's really about – that's a very, very inconsequential thing in the long run. Really, it's about eating good, wholesome foods. But if you're balling and you can afford to buy organic everything, why not?
David, would you consider yourself balling?
I'm not balling, but I feel that just the way foods are processed today, that I'm almost willing to spend the extra money now and maybe eat a little bit less. Because of just the way,
All right. Understood. Gotcha. Good luck to you, sir. Thank you for the call. Alex texts in, can't call, but thinking about doing a 3 or 5 day juice cleanse. Wondering Mike's thought on cleanses.
That's stupid.
Okay.
It's stupid.
Yeah. You know what will do a great cleanse for you? Your kidneys, your liver. You have to drink juice and, like, somehow it's going to transform the way that your internal organs work. Shut up, Yogi.
All right, let's go to Mercedes in Studio City. Hi there.
Hi, do you have, is low-sodium rice cakes better than bread?
Yeah, just don't eat a lot of them. I mean, I like rice as a carb source. But again, here's a really important thing to take away. And this goes for you, Mercedes, and everybody listening. Just like how you should treat human beings in life, you got to treat it that way with diet and nutrition. It's as an individual. I knew guys that get shredded on like 400 grams of carbs a day. I knew people that if they had more than 40, they pass out and fall asleep. Human metabolism is very individualized. Definitely I choose rice over bread, but if you find that rice is making you kind of bloated and doesn't feel very good, you don't digest it well, cut that out too. You know, it's like I said, it's very individualized. Have the patience to try it out and see how it works. But I definitely, out of the two, recommend rice cakes.
Mercedes, good luck. Thank you so much for the call. We're out of time. Let me close with this text. Can you be healthy as a vegetarian or a vegan? Robert, HB.
It depends on how you define healthy, but certainly for like just overall health and longevity, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, there's some concerns.
You don't need meat.
No, the human body definitely doesn't need meat. Getting back to what we were talking about last break. The human body will, if you get stuck on an island where all you have is fruits and veggies, your body will be...
What just happened?
That was maybe the grossest thing that's ever happened ever.
Maybe.
Harvey Weinstein's shivering somewhere from that.
Mike, thanks for coming in, my friend. Great to see you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
As sad as L.A. Rams fans were over the weekend, Kansas City Chiefs fans were even sadder. And we'll talk about all the playoff games with our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Allie, what's happening?
Mommy and Daddy are fighting.
Uh-oh.
And by Mommy, Lana Del Rey, and Daddy, Radiohead. And by fighting, there is a lawsuit.
Oh.
And it has to do with Radiohead's song Creep and Lana Del Rey's song Get Free from her latest album. Apparently, Radiohead thinks it sounds a heck of a lot like theirs. And we're gonna go through and listen to both and see if you can see any similarities. First, here's Lana.
This is my commitment, my modern manifesto. I'm doing it for all of us who never got the chance.
You said we were starting with Radiohead?
That was Lana Del Rey.
That sounds right just like but Creep.
Does it? I don't remember what Creep sounds like.
But I'm a creep.
Yeah. Well, here's what Lana Del Rey tweeted over the weekend. She said, "It's true about the lawsuit. Although I know my song wasn't inspired by Creep, Radiohead feels it was, and they want 100% of the publishing. I offered up to 40 over the last few months, but they will only accept 100. Their lawyers have been relentless, so we will deal with it in court."
That seems crazy.
Yeah, which then Boy George pops in.
I was
waiting for him to weigh in, and he brought up a great point.
What?
Radiohead was sued by the Hollies because Creep sounded a heck of a lot like the Holly song. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, that I breathe.
Yeah, they wound up winning that, and they didn't. Radiohead have to give up 40% of their earnings.
Is that right?
So I guess the common thing, courtesy wise, is if you agree on it before it gets to court, 40%. But we're not sure at this point because there's been no response from Radiohead's camp. If it's just their lawyer saying, "Nope, I want 100," or if Radiohead is even kind of aware of it and would take 40. Instead, and kind of just work it all out before it gets to court.
That does seem odd. It seems like they're drawing a line in the sand that nobody else draws.
Yeah.
A lot of songs sound like a lot of other songs, too, by the way. I believe Lana Del Rey when she says she was not consciously ripping off Creep. And by the way, the hundreds of other people who would have heard that song before it was released, did nobody bring it up?
You would think, yeah.
Was this a surprise to her?
But you really don't think that it's the same chord progression. It's the same song.
I think it's close. But I don't think she ripped them off.
I think they need to get together and just chat this one out.
Obviously.
You want Mommy and Daddy to get back together again.
I really do. Really? I don't want them fighting. And I don't want Boy George getting in the middle of stuff.
Where did he come from?
I don't know, but I loved it.
How did he get in the middle of that story?
I loved it so much. I loved it. He was sticking up for Lana, which I thought was sweet. No? All right. Not sure if you heard the collective scream of women all over Los Angeles this weekend. But it has to do with this tweet from Mariah Carey. Quote, "A friend called and asked me to do brunch. Come on. I don't do brunch. It's daytime. I suggested Linner instead. Definition? A late dinner. Hashtag Linner is the new brunch." Mariah Carey has ended brunch, you guys. It is over. We no longer have brunch. Mariah Carey.
She does strike me as somebody who doesn't get out of bed till about 5 p.m.
Absolutely.
And then stays up till 5 a.m.
I love that she said, it's daytime.
Do we still have Sunday Funday, though?
We never really had Sunday Funday.
Okay.
What about Sunday Friday?
Never a thing. How dare you?
Sorry.
Even though somebody tweet you guys, Jimmy Kimmel saying something about Friday?
It was one of those Instagram stories, and it wasn't him, clearly. But if it was, he needs to be straightened out.
Yeah, we need to talk with him. That is not okay.
Correct. So brunch is out for 2018, but Linner is in.
Linner's the new brunch. Yeah.
I like it.
I need to get Gimpy out there, Chip, walking today.
How are you going to do that?
I don't know, but this should do it. X-Files star Gillian Anderson picking up a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame this morning at 11:30.
That's awesome. Nice.
It's right outside of the Fox Theater at 6508 Hollywood Boulevard. Chip.
She could get there if she started now.
Oh, poor thing. Yeah, we need Chip's leg.
Chip's on crutches, you guys.
It's not good.
They had to amputate. She's only got one leg now.
No, she still has both her legs.
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's actually her leg.
I don't think it is. Okay.
It's true.
Agree to disagree.
You did say if they do amputate, you want a peg leg and you want to buy her an eye patch.
I did call dibs on the eye patch.
Which is nice.
I think it's fair.
Because no one was going to fight you on it. I got the parrot. Some birthdays for you. Physicist Stephen Hawking, actress Rachel Nichols, actress Gabby Hoffman, and singer Jenny Lewis. That's what's happening.
Rams season came to an unfortunate end on Saturday. Beer Mug was in the crowd at the Coliseum. Now, who's he talking to here, Kevin?
Muggs, who are you talking to? It's a Browns fan.
This was a Browns fan walking around in his Browns jersey with a very funny sign that said, "What is a, quote, playoff, unquote, game?"
And here it is.
Johnny's a Cleveland Browns fan, and he brought a sign to the game that says, "What is a, quote, playoff, unquote, game, question mark." Johnny, what is it like to be a Cleveland Browns fan being 0-16?
How drunk is Muggs?
Yeah, this is before the game.
This is rough.
Before the game.
Well, you know, it's a disappointing season, but, you know, I'm a Cleveland Browns fan through and through. Born a Cleveland Browns fan. I'll die a Cleveland Browns fan. You know, 0-16, 16-0, whatever it is, always a fan.
Yeah, the Chiefs lost tonight.
Yep.
The Rams lost tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Browns, I think they could squeak off a win next year.
Do you squeak off a win?
No, that's not an expression at all.
Is that what you do? You squeak off a win? Andrew Siciliano joins us now. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, guys.
Browns fan number one.
You know, the hold on. Let's back up. Beer Mug, is Beer Mug in there? Did he actually have that sign on?
He had
asking for attention.
Yeah, I mean, that's clearly what it was.
Stop with the self-loathing Browns fan crap.
Well, they should.
Hello, Browns fans. Well, like these clowns who did this parade on Saturday, what idiots. Let me tell you, you want the snark to continue. You want the, sarcasm passing for analysis to continue. You want, like, the giant video walls of all the quarterback jerseys and the last time they went again. You want that to continue? Then keep the self-loathing parades going.
Ask you this, Andrew. What do you do if you're a Browns fan living in Cleveland and you're trying to get the attention of the management of that football club to say, we need better?
Do you really think that the management of a team will try harder or less or more or whatever because of a parade?
Well, maybe there could be enough public outcry to fire a guy or something.
No. Now, listen, and by the way, I understand that I'm speaking here as an employee of the National Football League. I'm not, like, trying to be a hatchet man for the team against the fans. I'm sick of the self-loathing from the fans. Like, you want people to keep kicking you when you're down? Keep reminding people that you're down.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of reminders about the Browns.
There's a lot of
pain
in Andrew's voice as a Browns fan, too.
But by the way, right, buddy? The Browns were last in a playoff game in January of 13, okay? Or January of 03, January of 03. The Rams were 04. I mean, it was the same difference, by the way.
Andrew's a little angry, you guys.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
He poked the bear here.
The parade thing angered me like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, also the Rams outcome ticked me off, too. Let's be honest. I was also a somewhat drunken fan of that building as well. Thankfully, Dermot did not find me.
Andrew, I was wondering what it was like. I saw the minute-by-minute breakdown for your fans of how you spent yesterday at home just watching the games on TV.
Right.
And being able to actually go to a game in person on Saturday, it must have felt like a crazy, weird weekend for you after what you go through with the Red Zone all season.
Listen, it was awesome, and it was a great crowd, and it was a great scene. And, yes, to answer your question, that was my first Rams preseason game in the Coliseum. I have, like, hopped on a plane late afternoon and flown up to Santa Clara when they played the Niners up there in prime time. But as everyone here knows, we have not had a prime time game, a non-1 o'clock Sunday kickoff in the Coliseum since the team came home. So it was amazing. I tailgated with friends. I it was great.
It's a great atmosphere, isn't it?
Loved it. Yeah. Loved it, and didn't like the outcome, obviously.
Right.
But it was a great atmosphere, and for that team to go from 4-12 to 11-5 and host a playoff game, albeit one with a bad outcome, was remarkable.
Very impressive. Now, I mentioned before we brought you on, as sad as Rams fans are, I bet Chiefs fans feel even worse. They always figure out a way to lose, these Kansas City Chiefs, don't they?
And at home, usually.
Yes.
They were dominant, 21-3 at the half, right? Now, let me warn you, at this point, I am tailgating, and there is tequila, okay?
Sure.
But we're watching at the tailgate. Someone had a TV set up, and that was 21-10, big deal. So we go into the stands. I mean, into the building. I went down to the field for a little bit to have some friends, and like you would not believe, my phone starts blowing up. They briefly put the game on the Jumbotron there, and all these people start asking around because their phones start vibrating. Wait, what? No, the Titans didn't win. What?
The Titans were behind 21-3 at half and won.
And if you look at how it happened with Darrell Revis failing to tackle and with Marcus, look, the play of the game, they need the first down. They're running Derrick Henry. If Marcus Mariota on a busted play, in essence, when it's got to go left when there's nothing right, the quarterback is out there throwing the block to win the game.
Yeah.
And now they have to go to Foxborough and lose by 2 touchdowns.
Giselle had made a comment years ago. My husband can't throw the ball to himself. Well, guess what?
Yes,
Marcus Mariota did. So you never know.
He was a running back. He was an offensive lineman.
Do the accent.
That was a weird accent I just did. It was very much not a Brazilian Portuguese woman. So sorry about that.
With the exception of the Buffalo-Jacksonville game, it was a very entertaining weekend of football for the wild card, and I'm already excited about next weekend. Come on.
I am too, and the fact that the Falcons are now going to go to Philadelphia, where Philadelphia is the one seed, and no one thinks they are going to win that game.
Well, they had earned that one seed back when they had Carson Wentz, though.
Correct. Now, I am not one to talk about the gambling. That is, nope, can't do that. But I will say that this is the first time, for recreational purposes only, that the sixth seed, which is what the Falcons are, has ever been favored against the one.
In Philadelphia, right? This is crazy.
Correct. That's Philadelphia. where you could have temps like in the 20s.
Same thing for the New England game, right? Same temperature?
It's going to be ridiculous. In the 20s in that one.
But a different favorite.
Yes. I mean, the Patriots are expected to destroy the Titans. I mean, if you believe people. And even in Pittsburgh, the temperatures could be in the teens for that game. And everyone who says, well, the Steelers will destroy the Jaguars. The Jaguars went in there in October, I believe, and hung 33 on the Steelers and picked off Ben Roethlisberger 4 times.
Okay. Very something to think about as the weekend approaches. Thank you, Andrew. He is the host of NFL Network's Up to the Minute and DirecTV's
and
Red Zone channel. Go Browns. Thanks for jumping on, man.
Thank you.
Pat Bellany, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. He is here, ladies and gentlemen, on time, looking
good
fresh,
morning,
looking clean after a big night at the Golden Globes and the after parties last night. How are you, Matthew?
I'm good. I'm starting a movement to rename the Golden Globes the Oprah Awards.
So you were there in the audience for all 3 hours?
I was. This was my first time actually in the show, sitting there amongst all of the...
Your first time.
Yeah. I know.
Usually
I go to all the parties,
press, right?
Yeah, I go to all the parties and the press stuff, but this was my first time in the room. And they put the media in the back corner.
Right.
But I actually had probably the best of the worst seats. So I was right there as people were going by, going up to stage.
All right.
A nice view. It was cool.
I one time was there and wanted to meet Jack Nicholson. So I walked up and I tapped him on the shoulder and he gave me his drink order.
Nice.
So I went to a waiter and I just got it and I handed it to him. I said, here you go. It just turned into that, so all right.
If these days, it would be a selfie that you would ask for.
That's true, exactly, yeah.
No,
he spoke first and gave me his drink order. I didn't have a chance to say hi, so I was like, all right.
Matt, how did Seth Meyers play in the room? I enjoyed him very much as a TV viewer.
I think everyone went nuts for him. I mean, that's actually a really difficult job, to be the first big televised awards show after all of this craziness with the harassment stuff and Harvey Weinstein. So he had to kind of balance the seriousness of what's going on with also trying to be funny and make fun of things. And the only time he got booed was for that joke about Harvey Weinstein getting booed in his In Memoriam.
Right.
Which I thought was his best joke.
Same.
I mean, why did he get booed? He knew he would get booed.
Why?
Because he had the follow-up. Because it was a little bit... People were like,
it's over the top, of course.
Yeah, but it was great. It was so great.
This is one of my favorites.
For the male nominees in the room tonight, this is the first time in 3 months it won't be terrifying to hear your name read out loud. Did you hear about Willem Dafoe? Oh, God, no. He was nominated. Don't do that. Don't do that.
That's a real fine line to walk when you're talking about sexual harassment.
Totally.
You know, like, how do you poke fun at that without taking it less seriously?
I mean, he had...
I think he nailed it.
Yeah, he did. He had a couple weeks to prepare, and he, you know, did a bunch of interviews beforehand saying that they were really being sensitive to what was going on. So I think he did a great job.
It was a very important topic, and a lot of good words were said, but it did place a pall over the show, didn't it? I mean, it certainly wasn't as entertaining as usual.
No, but you know what? It was entertaining enough, and they couldn't not do this. Like, there was so much scrutiny on the show. Everyone from, you know, those reporters on the red carpet asking not who are you wearing, but what are you doing about this harassment issue,
right,
to all the activists in the room, to the fact that, like, there's so much pressure on these actors to say the right thing when asked these questions that I think that, you know, you knew it would be this and it was entertaining enough.
How do you think Hollywood as a whole is dealing with this?
I think everyone's terrified. The number one question I get asked when people ask me about this is, who's next, and how long is this going to go on? And nobody knows the answer to that, because I think it's going to go on for a long time. I think the culture is completely different, and we're going to see more stories of harassment. We're going to see more efforts to combat it, and it's going to go on, you know, for the foreseeable future. And award shows are the most public expression of Hollywood, so they are going to have to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
I saw a piece over the weekend, Matt, and I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me. It may have even been with your publication, but they were talking about how the Academy, the Oscar folks, they ejected Harvey Weinstein so quickly, like 9 days after the accusations all dropped, that now they find themselves being pressured to do something similar, kick people out of the Academy. And how do they determine whose crime has risen to the level of you can no longer be in the Academy? What are they supposed to do with Woody Allen? What are they supposed to do with Casey Affleck? What are they supposed to do with 100 other people? And how do they move forward?
I think that's a great question. And this is an issue that was raised at the time of the meeting to expel Harvey Weinstein. I know that because we published some stuff at Hollywood Reporter by Academy members who were saying exactly that. Where's the line? They have given Oscars to people like Roman Polanski after he pled guilty to statutory rape. So, you know, are they going to go back and reevaluate all this stuff? I don't think so. I think the party line from the Academy is, we have made this decision that is in keeping with what the times are now. We're not going to go back and do the other stuff, but going forward, we are going to police this stuff and have a code of conduct, and if people violate it, they'll be out.
I do wonder now, just because everything is at the forefront, which to me, it's shocking anyway that people still work with Woody Allen, because stuff has been out for decades about that man. Now, finally, are people going to be like, okay, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't work with him. Because this past year,
I know,
people were working with
Kate
him.
Kate Winslet, Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Tons of people. I know. I do think things are different. It'll be the test point for Woody Allen will be his next movie. He makes a movie every year.
Right.
So the casting process for his next movie will be the barometer of where he stands and the kind of stars he's able to get for that movie.
Right. And you think that it will be different this year than
last
year?
I think you will not see the A-listers, the Kate Blanchetts, the Kate Winslets, those types of people. I do not think they're going to touch Woody Allen anymore.
I hope not. Otherwise, they're the biggest hypocrites in Hollywood, which I thought they were anyway.
It's tough, though, you know, if you start going down that road, a lot of people said that Mel Gibson was banished from Hollywood and no one would work for him again.
Yeah.
And cut to 10 years later, he's up there at the Oscars, nominated for, you know, 4 or 5 awards for Hacksaw Ridge. So some of these people, the thinking is, will be able to rehabilitate themselves. Some people won't.
So the severity depends.
It's totally person by person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these people who may have had things in their past 30 years ago that have come out, maybe they will be able to apologize and, you know, do some kind of retribution. And then they will be able to re-enter Hollywood. Some people, like Kevin Spacey or, you know, Harvey, obviously, those people
are gone.
They're done.
Yeah.
The only other person who will never work again, as I understand it, is Billy Bush, though, right? He is unhirable forever because he listened to a guy brag once,
right?
I know.
It's so crazy. Of all of the things that are out there, Billy Bush is the guy that got fired.
He's the pariah.
Yeah, he is. And Trump, you know, say what you will about Trump, but, like, that's pretty bad. Like, the stuff that Trump said was pretty bad. He became president. Billy Bush became unemployable.
Exactly. Matt Bellamy is here, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. We haven't even gotten into the winners and losers. There were some surprises last night. We'll get your take on that, too, Matt, when we return right after this on KISS. Matt Bellamy in studio with us now, the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, THR.com. Let's turn away from hashtag Why We Wear Black and hashtag Me Too and talk about the actual Golden Globes last night, Matt.
There were awards. There were actual awards.
What? Yes.
Amongst all the speechifying.
3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which is a movie I would imagine most of our listeners probably haven't seen, was the big winner last night. Was that a surprise to you?
Not really. I thought maybe Dunkirk would win just because it's a big, you know, kind of studio movie, but it doesn't have stars in it, and the Golden Globes voters love stars. And Frances McDormand is a big star. Sam Rockwell is a cool actor. Woody Harrelson's in it as well. It's a good movie. It's definitely a smaller, more kind of indie-driven movie, but it's funny as well, and it wasn't a total surprise.
Okay.
Hollywood Foreign Press seems like they're not top quality.
I know several members of the Hollywood Foreign Press.
For a while, it was all about wining and dining them. Yes. I don't know that
Not true anymore.
Okay.
The old days of if you throw a party and give them some gifts and stuff and you get an award, that is not the case anymore.
Okay.
But there are certain things that they like, and they love big stars. They love when big stars pay attention to them, come to their awards, come to their lunches, press conferences, and the stars know that. So they all go to these things, and they kind of fawn over them. And you see it in the awards. You know, the smaller movies without stars tend not to win. If you look at Best Actor last night, a lot of people thought that Timothy Chalamet, who's the star of this movie, Call Me By Your Name, which is getting a lot of attention, a lot of people thought he would win for Best Actor. But no, they go with Gary Oldman, who is a big established star in The Darkest Hour, more traditional. You know, he's playing Winston Churchill, big world leader. That's the kind of thing that is the Golden
But you're not attack. Suggesting that's not a deserved performance as well?
No.
He's the favorite to win the Oscar
I don't know if he's the favorite, but he is certainly in the mix. And I'm just saying that's a choice they make amongst a star versus non-star.
Right. Gotcha. That was the big surprise for me anyway in the movie category. In the TV category, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I'm guarantee most people don't know.
The Globes voters, the gift bag from Amazon, like the screener bag, must be amazing because the Globes voters tend to go with these small Amazon shows year after year. They love anointing something in the TV categories. And The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is a show most people probably not. It's sort of like a musical period piece that
it, I love it.
It is
by the way.
Delightful. Is it people, better than, you know, was Insecure? Her performance better than Issa Rae in Insecure? Absolutely not. Was it better than Pamela Adlon in Better Things? Absolutely not. Was I furious? Yes, I was.
Is anyone else needed for this interview other than you?
No. They, you know, more power to them. What it does is it brings attention to shows that don't otherwise have a lot of press attention.
Is that part of it? Do they like giving awards to movies and TV shows that they think people haven't heard of?
Absolutely. You know what they has never won a Golden Globe for Best Series? Game of Thrones.
Right.
Because like, people know about it, so they don't want to pick it.
Right, and, you know, it's the biggest show on TV and gets Emmys and all the other stuff, yet never won a Golden Globe because they did not discover it.
Yeah, kind of like what they did with Transparent, too.
Yeah, exactly. And there were some bizarre nominations last year that Mozart in the Jungle show got nominations
right,
and things
right.
that nobody watches.
Right.
Yeah. All right, I want to ask about a couple more things about the show last night. Then I want to hear about the after parties, Matt. One is this journey of Tommy Wiseau to the stage of the Golden Globes last night has got to be one of Hollywood's greatest ever stories.
It really is. You make the worst movie of all time. It's so bad that it becomes a cult hit. And that movie is so bad that you then get this other movie made about you, and then that movie makes so much attention that it gets real awards. It's kind of crazy.
It was the best moment of the night, though, when he tried to get to the microphone.
Oh. Yeah, he was, like, shoved away.
Franco was like, nope. Frank was dying, nope. Like, you're not going to talk.
First of all, why did Franco bring his brother up on stage? I know he's in the movie, but he didn't win. He just decided to bring his brother up with him.
And he wanted to show him some love,
sure,
I think.
Sure, I guess.
Why do you hate Dave Franco?
Oh, I don't hate Dave Franco. Everybody loves Dave Franco.
I want to watch Tommy all night.
I know. Man.
He was at the parties and such. He was the like guest of honor. Everybody was getting photos.
Everybody wanted a picture.
That's got to be so mind-blowing for
Edgar him. Edgar Wright posted a picture with him, and he tagged it, "I've made it." By taking a picture with him.
I know, and I don't know if Tommy understands that it's sort of ironic love, but he'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, it's like when you get your picture with Vanilla Ice because you run into him at the hardware store, right?
Totally,
you're not doing it because you love him. You're doing it because how freaky is it that I'm standing next to Vanilla Ice?
Right, you're picturing the Instagram likes.
What do you know about Tommy Wiseau's new movie that's supposed to be coming out maybe as early as this spring?
I know it's going to be terrible. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to judge it in advance.
Oh, it's going to be terrible.
I'll say it's going to be terrible.
Well, when does the billboard go up? There's got to be a billboard.
There will be a billboard. And you know, his buddy, who's going to be in the new movie too, the guy from Room, he was there with him last night. He didn't get up on stage, but he was there. The guy Dave Franco plays in the movie. That's got to be the weirdest relationship.
So bizarre.
Your professional career is defined by how horrible you are.
Yeah. Hey, we're used to it. I'll tell you that. What can you tell me about the parties last night? Did you see any canoodling going on, or any people that you were surprised to see together, Matt?
Well, most of the canoodling was me with food.
Okay.
So,
okay.
And I judge the parties based mostly on the food. And I will say the NBC party had some delicious sliders with brie on them, which is a nice little touch. Yeah, very nice. No, the great thing about the Golden Globes is all the parties are right there. They're all in the Beverly Hilton.
Oh, they are. I didn't know that.
Next door.
You have to travel, yeah.
So you don't have to go anywhere. You're there, you know, and it's basically like you just kind of party hop from ballroom to ballroom. And, you know, most people end up at the HBO party, which is outside by the pool. The stars, you know, the stars kind of stampede out of the ballroom and then go to where they have to go. And then they leave and go on to their, you know, their dinner or their agency party or whatever. But they were out in full force. I mean, you see, like, you know, not canoodling, but you see stars kind of just hanging out, mostly commiserating about losing.
Right.
Which most people do.
It's so funny. Even during the TV show, going in and out of the commercial breaks, you see stars running over to try to get pictures with people. I mean, stars are just like us. And if you're in a room with Meryl Streep, it doesn't matter how famous you are, you still want to get your picture taken with Meryl Streep.
Yeah, and Oprah.
Oprah.
Everybody wants Oprah.
Just before we came on the air, Bean said, all I want to talk about is Oprah. And now we're out of time. And we haven't even brought up Oprah.
She is like Hollywood Jesus. You know, everybody wants to bow down in front of Oprah.
Is she going to run for president? For real.
I do not believe she will run for president.
You don't.
But I do believe she is loving this
people wanting her to.
Oprah does not do anything. She does not, you know, write a grocery list without thinking of the brand and the implications for her media empire. This speech was absolutely primed to get people to talk about Oprah and how inspirational she is and how she would be an amazing president. And she will love it. And then she will ultimately say, thanks, but no thanks.
Wow. All right. Where do you want our listeners to go, and what should they look for in the THR coverage of the Golden Globes?
We've got tons of stuff online today, reviews of the show, photo galleries, everything at THR.com. So check it out.
All right, Matt, thank you so much for coming in. We love you, man. Happy New Year already. We're all excited.
Yes.
One of the great joys of this show last year was the time that we got to spend on the phone with, and then I got to spend in person with, the great Barney Smith, who is the king of the commode. He's running the Toilet Seat Art Museum out there in San Antonio, Texas. You may remember a little piece of the interview we played.
The Lord says that he will keep me alive for a few more years if I would abstain from taking any beer.
What do you expect to find in heaven?
I expect to find my mother and dad, my brother and my sister, and my kin folks that have gone on before me, and my wife. I told her, I said, well, whenever you leave here, tell St. Peter that there's an old boy down here working on toilet seats that wants a place in heaven. And so she's got a good word for me.
He is 96 years old, and he's still working every day out in his museum, which is in his garage in San Antonio. We are thrilled to welcome him back to the program for the first time in 2018. Hey, Barney, how are you, buddy?
Doing good, thank you.
It's wonderful to have you on the phone. Do you remember me, Bean, when I came to see you in San Antonio last year?
I don't know. There's so many people come from California, that's just like the gold rush. Us going to California for the gold rush in 49 and then coming back to see the Tortoise Seed Museum now.
I understand, sir. That's fine.
But I've got 1,335 toilet seats hanging in there now. I don't remember how far up the scale that I was whenever you talked to me or whenever you came to see me, but I've got 1,335.
Wow.
Even though you are trying to sell the Toilet Seat Art Museum, you still continue to make new pieces for the museum
yes.
as well.
I'll be making pieces, and I put exhibit number on there. I've got one sitting right here at my feet that has already got exhibit number on it, but I don't have all of the material to finish it up. He's supposed to bring it to me this week sometime.
How do you come up with your next idea? Aren't you out of ideas by now?
Well, I don't have an idea until somebody just like the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts that are coming in a week or two. I told the fellow that called me and told me that they were coming to see me. I said, well, why don't you prepare me a toilet seat with a few pins on it, let me do a little bit of artwork on it, and then they'll have a toilet seat to sign whenever they get here, whenever they visit me next week or so. So he said he'd try to do that.
I got to say, when I was at Barney's Toilet Seat Museum, it's one thing to hear about it. It's one thing to look on his website and see it. You can go to Facebook and just search Barney Smith's Toilet Seat Art Museum. When you see it in person, it looks like the history of the 20th century because he has toilet seats that are painted for every state, for every country, for every president, for every historical event. There are World War II ones. There are Vietnam ones. There are from John F. Kennedy. I mean, it's just the entire history of the world is in your garage, Barney.
Yeah, I've got a piece of the Berlin Wall and a rock and a nail from Dachau concentration camp in Germany and a piece of the original barbed wire from Auschwitz in Poland.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been to two of the concentration camps there.
It's unbelievable. And the reason we wanted to get back in touch with you, Barney, is because you have a Kickstarter right now. You're trying to raise some money for a book about the museum. What can you tell us about it, sir?
In fact, they are like just a few thousand of getting $30,000 already appropriated for the sale of the book. So I'm hoping that they said that they had just a few more days to work on there. And so I'm hoping that they'll reach their $30,000. But they've already gone past 20,000. They're headed for 30,000.
Wow.
And why is it important to you to have this book made, Barney?
Well, I feel like that there will be so many people that will not be able to see the museum in person, that they would have to pull up an internet or a website, right, or buy my book and look at it. And it looks like it's going to be a real nice book. A hard cover, and I hope that the people that are listening to your broadcast this morning will want to come and see the museum and put a price on what they would give me for it and take it to California if they want it in California.
Sure. Now, sure. Marty, when you were younger, did you ever in a million years think that you would have a book published?
Never did know that. No, I never did. But I'm hoping that it turns out good. They said they would have a book signing here whenever they whenever it came off of the press, May the 25th of this year. May okay. the 25th is my birthday.
Oh, that's
and,
nice.
They're going to put it on the shelf on my birthday and get a place for me to have a book signing. And so we're going to have a big day on May the 25th somewhere. I don't know where to be, but I'm hoping that there'll be a lot of people that'll want to come and get a signed book.
Sure. The book is called King of the Commode, by the way, if you want to look for it on Kickstarter. As Barney mentioned, they're just a little less than $5,000 away from the total that they're looking for to make this book. Essays in the book, historical context, biographical details, photographs, ephemera, personal illustrations, interviews with Barney, and of course, insights into his critical creative process. It really does look like a fantastic book. So you're going to be 97 in May, Barney.
I'll be 97, right.
Anything in else
fact,
you still want to do?
My brother told me to hang in there and make 100, so I'm trying to make 100. So I don't know. It's according to the good Lord. He sure. is the one that's got the string attached there, and he knows when to clip it. So, I don't know.
Well, Barney, when I was out there visiting with you, I saw that you still live on your own. You still take care of yourself, and you seem like you got a little aches and pains, but otherwise you're doing pretty well.
I'm still by myself here in my home, and I hope that's where I will leave this whole world, here where my wife was here. She had double pneumonia, and they gave her only 2 to 4 months to live. And they said, we've got to get you out of the hospital, either take you to another hospital, to a nursing home, or to rehab, or wherever you want to go. And she said, take me home. So she died here, but instead of 2 to 4 months to live, she lived for 4 years.
Wow.
With me cooking for her.
How about that?
Hope that I get a little bit of credit for her long liberty.
Well, I hope it's a long time before you die in that house, Barney, but we're very excited about the Toilet Seat Art Museum and about the book, too, that we want our listeners to go to Kickstarter and pitch in a few bucks for King of the Commode. Anything else you want to tell us before we say goodbye for now, Barney?
I don't know whether they know that I've got a piece of the Challenger that blew up down in Cape Canaveral in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got $1 million on one. I've got the ash from St. Helens on one. And I've got the Saddam Hussein's toilet. The tank that you punch the button to flush it with. I don't know how the Saddam Hussein's flushing his toilet because I've got his flusher.
Well, he's not really worry right now.
He's not really doing that anymore.
How about that?
Your house sounds so much better than the Smithsonian, even.
It is.
Well, the last thing that I hung up out here is Star Trek. Someone sent me 3 or 4 little figurines, and I've got them on there, and about 3 of the spaceships, and it says collect all 6 of them. And so I don't know whether anybody will want to send me another one or not, but anyway, if they come and see my toilet seats and they want to add to something or give me enough material along with the toilet seat that I can inscribe their name on it, who the donor is, I'll put an exhibit number and it will be sold with the rest of the ones that will be going somewhere. I've got about 12 out there that's got arrowheads on them. I've got about 14 of them that has got Randolph Roadrunners on it. And they just last Saturday, just, day before yesterday, they came by here and signed this 14th year that they have been by the Tortoise Seat Museum. The Pooch Parade has been here 19 years, and I've already got their 20th year ready for them to sign it in April. I think it's April, the last Saturday in April of 18, they will be coming by and sign the plaque that I've got for the 20th year.
You sound like the busiest human being on the planet.
100%.
Well, I've got a lot for them to look at.
Yes,
I've got a lot of, in fact, the...
Okay.
Party, we love you. We're happy you're doing well. We wish you good luck with the book, and I hope we get a chance to talk to you soon, my friend,
Thank you so much. Come and see me, all of you there, out there at the station, and even give me a toilet seat there to where that I can put your call letters on it, and everybody that comes to see me from that station. In fact, you can even pass it around and get their signatures on the lid of the toilet seat take a screwdriver and take the hinge off and send me just the lid with all the names on it and your letter that I'll be putting on the back of it your call letters of the whatever station it is there on that.
That sounds perfect,
K-O-R-Q.
Barney. Yes, sir. That's
exactly.
Right.
Hey, listen to that.
All right, Barney.
All righty.
Thank you.
Glad to get to talk to you.
We're glad to talk to you, too.
You too.
And
bye-bye.
I hope that everything goes well. And tell everybody that's listening to you to look at my website, look at my Facebook, and buy one of my books. And
come
and see me.
Sure will. All right. Thank you, Barney. Bye-bye
you.
Now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
You have a good day now.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
bye now.
Oh, my God.
He's exhausted.
I love him so
much. He's 96 and he's exhausted.
I need a nap.
So
Barney's still talking? What do
probably.
You want to bet?
Oh, God bless him.
What do you want to bet? He doesn't know we hung up.
I love that guy. How do you cut him off?
You don't. We did the right thing.
Ultimate respect for someone that old.
Yes.
Although, don't let Kirk Douglas give speeches. If I could just throw that out there while we're talking about old people. I mean, nice man.
It was hard to listen to, yeah.
It wasn't great TV. Yeah. Allie's here. It's time for What's Happening on the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. What's the latest?
Bellator, MMA, 192. It's happening at the Forum on January 20th. Tickets on sale now, starting at $30. Ticketmaster.com. But how about a pair of tickets to see Bellator MMA 192? That's Chael Sonnen versus Quentin Rampage Jackson. Caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067. Call up and those tickets are yours.
Big names.
Big names.
Quentin Rampage Jackson ran from the police. High-speed chase in a truck with a full-size picture of him on the side of it.
Yeah, it was like a huge truck,
yes,
right?
It was. Yep.
Wow. Interesting stuff. Well, we were just talking about Barney, who's 95. Another
96.
He's going to be 96.
He's going to be 97.
Oh, my bad.
We just talked to him just
then
recently.
This might not work out because I was going to say Betty White should get in touch with him. She's 95.
Well, I mean, that's close enough.
And she just told Parade Magazine that she loves vodka and hot dogs, probably in that order. Vodka and hot dogs, Betty White. That is excellent. She also said that's probably not why she's lived this long. She also has embraced optimism as well. So Betty and Barney, who's with me?
Right.
I don't understand why people ask for their advice on how to live long. I've never understood that.
It's just the first thing you ask someone that's of that age. Because you think there's going to be a secret instead of knowing it's just genetics and it's just in their DNA.
Let's stop doing that.
I saw a 104-year-old woman on the news this weekend who never thought she'd live to be 104, and she said it's Diet Coke. That's her secret weapon. She drinks a Diet Coke every day.
Really?
Now, I doubt there's a relationship between those two things, but that's the kind of secret people are looking for.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
Well, there you have it.
When people ask Betty White, as they often do, if there's anything left that she wants to do, her answer is always Robert Redford, which I think for a 95-year-old woman, that's a pretty sharp answer.
That is excellent stuff. Well, we teased this just a little while ago, but Coachella 2018 falls on 420. But for those of you hoping to score and smoke some weed openly out there in Indio, you are out of luck. The city of Indio, where Coachella, of course, takes place, they're cracking down on marijuana use. They're not allowing selling, cultivating, or distribution of cannabis. And just like anywhere, you can't just smoke it out in the open anyway. So...
Could I just butt in?
Sure.
It's already a huge part of Coachella.
What?
It has been.
Do
Maybe
you
for
think
you and your pothead friends.
Pretty much every day, all day.
Yeah.
From everyone?
Yeah.
It's sort of not different.
But now that it's legal in California, Kevin, that's not allowed anymore.
Isn't that insane? It is just nuts. But the city of Indio has to abide by state law, which allows you to possess a small amount for your personal use. You just can't smoke it out in the open. Like anywhere, but that's, let's be honest, Kevin's going to be blazing up all over the place.
Come on, you're out in the open. Come on, people.
That is right. You are out
in
the open. That is a great point.
Thank you.
Let's take a look at the box office this weekend. A lot of people thought maybe Insidious might bump off Jumanji and Star Wars The Last Jedi. No, no. Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle came in number one with $36 million, followed by Insidious The Last Key, which debuted at $29.3 million, followed by Star Wars The Last Jedi, The Greatest Showman, Pitch Perfect, Ferdinand, Molly's Game, The Darkest Hour, Coco, and rounding out the top 10, All the Money in the World. Big Baller Brand.
Yes.
Yeah. They're up against some stuff with the Better Business Bureau. Better Business Bureau says that they have earned the lowest possible rating of an F.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't hear about that very often.
You really don't. And this has to do with the LeVar Ball launch company that's clothes and shoes and whatnot.
Does it mean it's poorly run?
Well, apparently the complaints range from people that didn't get their orders to getting the wrong order. And Big Baller has 41 negative reviews and zero positives, with 33 formal complaints on file.
Wow.
And the Better Business Bureau has reached out to Big Baller Brand twice to help resolve the issues, but nobody's calling them back. I feel like you might want to resolve that.
Maybe that's something you want to take
care
of.
A little bit. Yeah. And if you missed it, Pink will be performing the national anthem at the Super Bowl, taking place February 4th in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So Pink, doing that.
And it's always one of my bets. Now, is she going to sing it shorter or longer than the average?
I feel like she's not going to be doing all those like crazy
runs. You don't think
runs.
So? Because she sure can.
She sure can, yeah. But I don't think like compared to like a Christina or someone like that. I think she'll keep it just under.
That's usually my first Super Bowl bet, and everybody's going crazy. Like,
that's
come on,
it?
Come on, hold the note, come on. Just to make sure whether you had the over or the under.
I don't know. You want to bet on that?
I mean, I always do. Yeah.
But with me?
Sure.
I'm saying she sticks right on time. You say she goes over.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could take less than as
I'll
well.
Take less than.
Yeah, you don't have to say right on time.
No, I think she ends it right on time.
Okay.
That's
a ridiculous
right on time?
Bet. Well, they'll put out the line, you know, soon.
All right.
That's one of the things you can bet on.
Okay. I like it.
Okay. Explain the Pink.
I don't think I want to do that right now. And Bottle Rock Napa Valley 2018, presented by Jam Cellars, has announced its sixth annual lineup. Now, this takes place up there in Napa, May 25th through the 27th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. And when you hear this lineup, I don't know what you're doing at 9:59, but I am going online to get some of these tickets. Headliners, Bruno Mars, The Killers, and Muse. Right there,
that's
I'm in.
Strong.
But then some of the 80-plus other artists featured: the Chainsmokers, Halsey, Snoop Dogg, Incubus, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Bleachers, Billy Idol. Are you kidding me?
This sounds great.
Oh, this is going to be such a hoot.
Sounds like a really fun event, and I feel like maybe we should all head up there as a show. Maybe some team building, some bonding.
Sure.
Up there in Napa. Bean, you in?
Can't hear you.
Didn't think so. All of these stars born today, January the 8th. We've got Stephen Hawking, Rachel Nichols, Jenny Lewis, and Gabby Hoffman, and that's what's happening.
Thank you, Ellie, on your drive home today. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we've got Dylan McDermott, the star of L.A. to Vegas. We've got a brand-new Internet Roundup and the Bachelor Report with Petros Papadakis tomorrow morning.